From Hollywood, California, we bring you The Smiths of Hollywood. Yes, The Smiths, with Brenda Marshall as Nancy Smith.
Bum, don't pay any attention to Uncle Cecil's views on marriage. Marriage is an institution.
Jan Ford, his daughter Bunce.
That's what Uncle Cecil says. But who wants to live in an institution?
Harry Von Zell is Bill Smith.
Uncle Cecil is in no position to judge. He's not a married man.
True, William, nor am I a hen. But I'm a better judge of eggs than any hen in the country.
And that was Arthur Treacher as Uncle Cecil from England. Yes, it's the Smiths of Hollywood. A program with special appeal to little children, old ladies, ubangies, and string savers. Music lovers who haven't already taken cover should address all notes of indignation to Charles Hathaway, who, with the cooperation of the orchestra, furnishes the unusual musical interludes. Last, but by no means least, we would like to introduce our sponsor. Testing. Everybody with us? Then on with the Smiths of Hollywood. Meet Nancy Smith.
Hi, everybody. There comes a time in the life of every mother when the baby she carefully tended, the child she picked up after, the little girl whose hair she braided suddenly needs a formal dress.
A long, slinky one.
She wants high heels, lipstick, powder, mascara and perfume, and nail polish. Then all of a sudden you realize your daughter's beginning to use the tools of the craft. Anyway, that first request for a formal dress is quite a shock.
A long, slinky one, huh, Mom?
Bumps, why does it have to be slinky? You're not built to slink. You're too running, darling.
Mom, if Folger wants me to slink, I'll slink.
Bumps, dear, I've never met this Folger. What's he like?
Oh, he's tall and rough. And he's going to be a chemist. And he has freckles on his hands.
Oh, well, even if he does have freckles on his hands, I think before we go any further, you'd better have Folger come over and talk to your father about going to the stands.
Oh, okay. But tell Pop not to embarrass him, will you, Mom? Folger blushes all the time.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Mom, don't be taken in by blushes. He blushes because of what he's thinking, not because of what he's doing.
Sometimes I wish I'd had a boy instead of a girl. On the other hand, after seeing Folger, maybe it's just as well. I'd forgotten to tell Bill about it, and at 1:45, Bumps began clearing the decks for action.
Uncle Cecil, why don't you take a good book and go to your room and read? It will improve your mind.
My mind is quite all right, thank you.
And Father, I wish you'd shave, please. Oh, can't you do something about those baggy slacks you're wearing?
Bumps, are you talking to me?
So far as I know, I have but one father. He will probably read you some of his poetry.
Who will read some of his poetry?
Folger. Uncle Cecil, you better go upstairs. I don't think Folger will like you.
And I'm sure I shan't like Folger. Who is Folger, by the way?
Don't speak of Folger in that tone.
Now, just a minute, Bumps. Would you mind telling me exactly who Folger is?
Folger? He, well...
I say, William, give her liver extract. That's what she needs.
You be quiet. How about the way you treated the Boers?
What Boers?
Well, I don't know, but Folger said England had no right to make war on the Boers. And I agree with him. Just because people are boring is no reason to make war on them.
I disagree. Anyway, you must be referring to the Boer War in Africa, and I had nothing to do with that.
You did, too.
I did not.
Oh, Oh, gosh, I haven't got any makeup on. Now, Pop, be nice to him. Uncle Cecil, wipe your chin off.
How can I? It's fastened on.
Pop, you answer the door. Oh, no, I'll answer.
Well, make up your mind.
Oh, gee. Now, Uncle Cecil, don't give him that fishy handshake. And remember to look directly at him. Folger hates people with shifty eyes.
Yes, sir. William, you should have refused her at the hospital. You should have asked for your money back.
Oh, you be quiet. Tommy! Oh, hello, Folger. I wasn't expecting you so soon.
It is 2:00. I said I would arrive at 2:00. There's no worse ordeal than meeting a girl's family, but I gave my word to be here at 2:00, and therefore I'm here.
Obviously.
Come in, Folger. Folger, this is my father.
How do you do, Mr. Smith? I've heard a lot about you, too.
Yeah, well, how do you do, Folger?
I've long wanted to congratulate you on the work you did for the cancer drive and for the Civil Liberties Committee.
Well, that.
Yeah.
Well, have a cigar.
No.
Can I take your coat, Folger?
Oh, thank you, sir. I don't find it unduly hot.
Folger, this is my uncle, Sir Cecil Smythe. I told you about him.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Well, if that's the way it is, I've heard a lot about you, too. Too much.
Well, now that the formalities are over, let's come to facts. Mr. Smith, what is it you'd like to know?
About what?
About me.
Oh. Well, I hope this doesn't come as a rude shock to you, Folger, but to tell you the truth, I can't think of anything I'd like to know about you.
Well, that's simple enough. And I take it, Bump, that I will see you later.
Just a minute. Why should I want to know facts about you, Folger? I mean, why especially?
Pop, didn't Mom tell you?
Nobody's told me anything. And what's more, I'm very curious here. What should your mother have told me?
About Folger and me.
William, do you suppose this thing is more serious than we thought?
Oh, it wasn't serious when it began, but it's getting that way.
There's no cause for alarm, Mr. Smith. This is a perfectly ordinary thing that happens between boys and girls all the time.
It does?
Oh, my.
I think, let's start at the beginning here. How old are you, Folger?
13 1/4, sir.
And when did you meet Bump?
At school this year. I'm in 8th grade. I'm going to be a chemist. My father is a doctor. Your family and mine are roughly in the same social strata, with mine having a slight lead economically, I guess. That is, judging by your furniture. I'm quite fond of your daughter and completely aware of my responsibility toward her. And I shall do my best to fulfill any and all obligations befitting a gentleman, should you give your consent.
Folger, all I wanted to know is, give my consent to what?
I beg your pardon. I thought you understood. I wish to escort Bumps to the senior dance tomorrow night.
To the senior dance. Is that all?
Why, yes.
You mean we went through all this about a senior dance? Bumps, I don't get this. Why all this fuss? Of course you can go to the senior dance. Why this big production?
Well, that's what I said too, Pop. Golly, it isn't as though we were going to get married or anything.
As a matter of fact, sir, that is something we have discussed, but it seemed wise to wait.
Ah, yes. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I do want to thank you for coming, Folger.
Yes,
again.
Sir.
I'm glad everything is finally cleared up for you.
Ah, me. Strange place, America.
Well, that's Folger. You know, there's something sad about a girl's first date. It's really sadder than a wedding. I tried to explain it to Bill. What did you think of Folger, darling?
Folger? I think his mother must have been an adding machine and his father an encyclopedia.
Well, I sort of thought Bumps would pick out a different type.
You mean to say that Bumps picked Folger out?
Well, now, why do you have to make fun of everything?
Well,
I think Bump's first date is very sad.
I think he is, too. But if Bump's likes
him... No, look, darling, I mean, having a date is very sad.
Hmm?
Well, you know what it means, don't you?
You mean she's having a date?
No. It's more than that, Bill. We're losing her, don't you see that? I mean, it's the first step. After that, there'll be other boys.
Well, let us hope so.
And then the boy will come along and suddenly... Well, Bill, it's just going to be you and me alone. Bumps will go off and start a home of her own.
Here, Grandma, have a hanky.
Well, you do know that we'll miss her.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Nancy. In the first place, it's a long way off. In the second, we won't be alone, believe me. Bumps will probably have a dozen children and bring them over to stay with us every time she goes out to the movies. And in the third place, if having a date with that Folger is the cause for all this calamity, let's call it off now.
Call it off?
Yes.
Why, Bill Smith, have you lost your reasoning?
No.
Why, Bumps would never get over such a thing. I should say we won't call it off. Folger had said he'd call for Bumps at 8 o'clock. Well, knowing Folger, I knew he meant 8. So at 7, I began supervising Bumps. You know, not too much lipstick, easy on the perfume. Don't try to wear all the jewelry, you know.
Mom, I don't feel very comfortable in this glamour getup.
Well, Bumps, you might as well learn now. There are two types of women, comfortable and glamorous.
I feel sort of scared about this evening.
Why, darling?
Well, I don't know. Mom, do you like me?
Well, of course I like you, dear.
I like you, too.
Well, I'll always like you, darling. Will you remember one thing?
What?
Well, I'd like to be thought of as a friend as well as your mother. Anytime anything bothers you, you can always come to me. Just remember that, darling.
Gee, you're swell, Mom. Oh, gee whiz, that must be Folger. I better go ask him.
No, darling, you finish dressing.
Okay.
Bill! Bill?
He went down to the corner of the cigarettes, Nancy.
Oh, he would. Uncle Cecil, you'll have to entertain Folger.
Oh, no. I say, what a... Oh, dear. Oh, no. What a horrible notion.
Go on. Answer the door. Karen Bumps will be right down.
Oh, you know, I'd rather play host to a snapping turtle. Oh, but very well, yes. Yeah. Oh, quit leaning on that bell, you little monster.
Good evening.
Good evening, nurse. I've been told to entertain you till Bumps is ready. Don't suppose you'd like a drink, well?
Why, yes, I would.
You would, eh? What if it's scotch by any chance? The answer is no.
Water, if you please. I drink 10 glasses a day.
10 glasses of water a day? Oh, I say, what an utterly dreadful thought. Oh, dear. Very well, now you turn on the radio and listen to some crime story or something and... I'm going to entertain you. I'll need a drink myself, so I'll go and get your water for you.
Thank you.
I'll be right back.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn the page of our musical scrapbook to a poem written by Carl Allen. A lovely thing. Give me a place by the side of the road where the weary travelers pass. Oh, give me a place by the side of the road, and I'll sell hot dogs and gas. Lovely thing, isn't it? There'll be more of the scrapbook after a word from our sponsor. that was a message from the sponsor of the Smiths of Hollywood. Lovely thing, wasn't it? Now, to more of the scrapbook. Here's a lovely poem I'd like to read.
You know, boy, don't turn that off. I like poetry.
Oh, so do I, but not that stuff. You like poetry, you say? Well, as it happens, I have some of my own verse with me. Would you like to hear it?
Well, no, as a matter of fact.
This one, my favorite, is called Starking Deed.
Look here, boy, I'm supposed to entertain you.
You'll find the style difficult at first, but you'll catch on. It goes like this. A Lucite, tall and great there was, a lofty Loman seller. Alone he growled the Hiklamus and blew his colored mother. The slashing wind did Teleron and slapped the facing sore, and breath did snare the Sassic one and fell the Nippus roar. Oh, God! Did ever Sweeney start? Did Wenson do his share? Did waves and heaving slaver part with howling, blazing glare? The end was near and to the core, and tied the simple mantis was torpid with a bloody gore, and all the dead lay Santus.
There, what did you think of it?
I say, have you ever been investigated? Look, old boy, since it's just the two of us here, let's be honest. I don't think you need entertaining. I'll just wander out for a walk, and then you'll have an audience that's 100% with you. Instead of 50.
Well, very well. I'll bring the conversation down to a lower plane.
One word, soldier. One word of caution. As it happens, Bunce is my very favorite niece.
Well, I can't blame you, sir. She's a thoroughly charming girl. A little immature, but that's to be expected.
Well, old boy, think of this. If one thing, one tiny thing, happens that ruffles a single one of her nerves, if you so much as irritate her, I'll hang you up with a thumb and flivvy you. I'll peel you. Follow me, soldier.
Yes, sir.
Well, Uncle Cecil and I had a highball, and when Bill got home, he joined us. And all that worrying I'd done about Bunk suddenly seemed terribly silly. Bill and I decided to go to a movie, and Uncle Cecil went too, of course. That was about 8:30. Well, how was I to know then what was happening to Bunk at 8:30?
Soldier, do we have to walk all the way to the dance?
You can't skate in high heels, and I'm not old enough for a driver's license. Why? Are you tired?
No, but I'm getting hungry. I was so excited I forgot to eat dinner.
I never get that excited. I'll tell you what, we'll stop at the punch bowl and get a soda.
Oh, boy! Let's do. Gee, did you ever have one of their idiot sundaes?
Of course not.
Well, you ought to. It's got five kinds of ice cream, raspberry, vanilla, chocolate, pineapple, and peach with sliced bananas.
All this in a sundae?
Well, that's the first layer. The second layer has six kinds of ice cream. Tutti Frutti and all, and crushed pineapple with chocolate sauce and nuts and whipped cream.
I'm getting a little sick.
Oh, but they're fun. They call them idiot sundaes because only idiots order them. I ate two once.
It's hard to be intellectual over an idiot sundae.
Oh, it won't take but a minute. And they have plain ice cream for intellectuals. Oh, come on, let's go, huh?
Well, all right, but sometimes I think I'm too old for you. Then I wrote another poem. It's called Old Harkness. Oh, many's the time I've Paul the Gee, and how's this war the latest?
Are you sure you wouldn't rather have an idiot sundae?
I do not want an idiot sundae.
I like another one. Gee, I guess now I'm a woman. Three idiot sundaes. That ought to prove something.
And then I wrote another one. It's called Old Patarney. It goes like this.
Lots, my friend. And raise the wristy link. Ne'er more to belly fling the empty wooden sink.
Please, Walter. No more poetry.
But you said you liked it.
I know. But it's making me sick.
My poetry making you sick?
It must be that. A little thing like Three Idiot Sons couldn't make a girl sick, could it? Walter, I think I... Walter, I guess you better excuse me.
Are you sure I shouldn't call a doctor?
Walter, honest, I'm not dying. And I think I'd better get home before I do.
Gosh, I'm awfully sorry.
It wasn't your fault.
You look awful green.
Oh, don't worry about me.
Well, to be very honest, I'm worrying about your uncle. He said he'd skiver me if anything happened to you.
Oh, please, Folger. I'm skivered already.
We were at the movies, of course. We got home from the movies about 10:15 or so, and I was thinking about Bumps again and wondering if she was having a good time at the dance. Bill?
Hmm?
Do you remember the first dance you took me to?
I certainly do. I remember the last one, too. It was the same dance.
Why is it husbands don't like to dance? Anybody want some milk or hot chocolate?
I say, what did I do? Yeah, make mine with scotch, would you?
Oh, Uncle Cecil, you can't take it in chocolate, too.
Perhaps you're right, William. Yes. Nancy, leave out the chocolate.
Oh, I'm going to bed, dear.
Oh, wait a minute. Aren't you going to wait up for Bumps?
Well, why should I?
Well, but Bill, you just should, that's why.
Oh, Nancy, now stop being a typical mother. Do you remember how annoyed you were when we were dating and your mother sat up worrying about you?
Well, she had a right to be worried.
Oh, fine. Well, you needn't worry about Bumps. You're being very silly. But I'll be silly with you. We can have a three-handed card game. How about it, Uncle Cecil?
Oh, very well, yes, but I still want a scotch. You know, scotch and cards go together.
Listen, Uncle Cecil, with you, scotch and cornflakes go together.
Well, we played cards. 11 o'clock came and no Bumps. Well, Bill said not to worry. 11:30 came and Bill was worrying and Uncle Cecil said not to worry. Then 12 o'clock came and no Bumps. And we were all biting our nails.
I say, we just please don't just sit here waiting, you know. We've got to do something.
Well, do. I'll call the school and find out what time the dance was over.
Bill, we'd better call the police. Uncle Cecil, where are you going?
Out. I can't just sit. A lucite tall and great the walls, a loft in Norman's fella.
Huh?
I'm going looking for them. If that shifty-eyed little lucite has double-crossed us, I'll do exactly what I said I'd do.
What was that?
Peel him. Lay head like a back.
My goodness, Bill. I never saw Uncle Cecil so upset.
Yes, I didn't know he was so fond of Bumps. Well, what do you think we ought to do now, darling? I've checked with the school. The dance was over at 11. I've checked with the police. No ambulance calls or... just sit and wait, I guess.
I had a funny feeling about tonight.
Now...
Bill. Now, remember, I had a feeling.
Yes, dear, you had a feeling. Women always do. But listen, let's not leap to any grim conclusions. Probably everything's all right. Nancy, are you sure Bumps couldn't have come in earlier, maybe slipped by us while we were playing cards in here?
Mm-mm. She wouldn't do that. She'd say something to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. Maybe she came in before we did, though. Have you looked upstairs at her room?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Nancy, you haven't looked? Let's go look. A sudden hunch has hit me.
Well, she was in bed, of course, sound asleep. Bill looked at me, and I looked at Bill. And I could tell by the sign of his eyebrows that he was thinking of that ceiling I was talking about. He didn't say anything, though. He just kissed me and smiled. But we were both so relieved to find Bumps safe and sound that nothing else mattered. So finally we got to bed. We'd completely forgotten about Uncle Cecil.
It's quite an evening. memorable first date for our daughter. For us, more than for her, though.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, no. What a time to be calling people. Probably one of Uncle Cecil's all-night friends. I'll fix him good. Sorry, wrong number.
You didn't really? Oh, I'm sorry.
Uncle Cecil? Oh, I'm sorry. Good gosh, I forgot all about you.
Well, never mind that. You know, I've got news for you, William.
News?
About Bump. She's upstairs in bed.
Yeah, I know.
You know? William, how did you find out?
We looked. How did you find out?
I choked it out of Folger.
Out of Folger? You got Folger out of bed?
Oh, no. He got out of his own accord. The noise must have awakened him.
What noise?
Why, when Folger's father knocked me through the French door.
Folger's father knocked you through the French doors?
Oh, the old boy was justified, you know. You see, I fetched him out on the floor first.
Huh?
After he swung at me, that is, you see.
What?
He wouldn't let me in the door to cross-examine Folger, and I broke in.
Oh, Gabriel's teeth. Uncle Cecil, how much bail do you need?
Bail? Oh, I'm not in the drink, William.
No?
Well, you see, after I finally got to Folger and he bit me, I turned him over the knee.
Yeah?
And Folger's father was so delighted, we're celebrating.
Oh, no.
Oh, a delightful fella. Don't wait up for me, old boy. I won't be home till late. Cheerio, old boy.
Cheerio.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Leave the Smiths of Hollywood. The Smiths is written by Dick Nasseman and Bob Fresnel Jr., who drinks old Gluckenheimer, and directed by Bob Fresnel Jr., who looks like it. Starred in The Smiths are Nancy Smith,
Brenda Marshall,
Arthur Treacher, Bill Smith,
Harry Ponzel,
and daughter Bumps,
Jan Ford.
And Folger was played by Conrad Binion. The original music is ad-libbed by Charles Hathaway. And this is Tyler McVeigh, pronounced to rhyme with Hickenlooper, bidding you all cheerio.